But I wanted to obey the Lord here in this regard and continue, because I think all the things, as much as it's wonderful to celebrate certain holidays, and I'm certainly for that, to keep focus of what's on God's heart. And one of the things that's on his heart is people and souls. And we're so close to his return that the fields are white with harvest, but the laborers are few. And God is prompting us, and where he told me is, and Pastor Greg and Pastor Enrique, to talk about the motto of the church, where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. And so he prompted me to just approach it, and the same with Pastor Enrique regarding fishing. And so when you go fishing, he's looking for all of us, even in the scriptures. Jesus said in Matthew 4, he said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." But I like the New Living Translation. It says, "I will teach you how to fish for people." So it's going to take him, and of course, it's going to take his spirit to help us and show us how to reach people and how to reach them with what? What's the bait? When you go fishing, you have to have bait. You know, I fished from a little guy. I remember my dad taking me fishing. I'm sure he, you know, I remember when we lived when we were moving around a lot, we were in Illinois. I remember fishing, you know, and getting his pole tangled up and everything. And he's probably like, "Ugh, let's go fishing, not this," right? But I remember just as a young kid fishing, and you need the right kind of bait for the fish you're going after. You don't use the same kind of bait in fresh water as you do salt water, do you? A different kind of bait, different kind of fish. So you need to know what kind of fish you're going after. You need to know the right kind of bait, and you need to know the right time of year, because certain bait doesn't work at certain times of the year. So even where that is concerned, he's going to show us how to fish for people. People respond differently, and the Holy Ghost is going to show us how to use the bait. What's the bait? It's always going to be the love of God. And the love of God and the word of God and the spirit of God and the power of God. It's not just certain individuals operating in the power of God. He gave us the command and the great commission that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So that is part of the bait, as I would call it, that when you run into people, he may lead you, "Hey, do you mind if I pray with you? Somebody's hurting. Do you mind if I pray with you?" You're like, "Well, I'm not anointed to do that." Well, I guess you need to tell Jesus, because he gave us that command to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And he said, "Those that would believe will be saved. Those that won't be. And that will to do what? And these signs shall follow just certain people." No, it said, "Those that believe." So you need to take a step, and that's why I'm saying, I want to start here today. Everything we do where this is concerned has to be done by faith. You have to believe that you are called to do that. Everybody's called, because it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are ambassadors for Christ. So that means I'm a sent one. Say, "I'm a sent one." I'm called, I'm sent, and I'm anointed. I'm anointed to reach people. Now, you may not feel that, but you know authority isn't felt. You know, if you are authorized to enforce laws, there may be some days you don't feel like it. Huh? You may get up and go, I don't want to go to work today. But you're authorized. And you step out and you have the credentials and the authorization and the backing behind you to do what? Enforce something. Well, we've been given an assignment. We are authorized to do what? Reach people. Whether you feel like it or not. Authority is not a feeling. It's a position. And we are authorized by the head of the church to reach people. And that's important to him. And so I just wanted to start there and say, look, everything we do has to be done in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's what? He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So, you know, it's interesting to me, you know, I was thinking about it this past week. You know, when I used to go fishing, I don't do that. I would say, I won't say I don't do it at all, but I don't do it like I used to. But I remember just up here, you know, you have Harriman State Park. You've got about 20 lakes up there. It's a beautiful place to go fishing. I remember one time walking along the road at Lake Tirati, and there, right at the edge of the road, there was like a shallow area. There were like 8 and 10 pound bass sitting there. And I went, where's my grappling hook? Just grapple this thing. But they were spawning and they weren't hungry. They weren't hitting. They weren't eating. I remember taking my pole, dangling it like this, nothing. So what's my point? I've been fishing in every kind of weather, every kind of, you know, I don't do that. It's just not my interest. But I had to learn what kind of bait to use, and I studied it. I mean, I did fly fishing. I've done ice fishing. I've done all that kind of stuff. And you had to learn what the fish ate. And the same thing. We need to spend more time interacting with people and not just so busy running in and out, but be open to get into a conversation with somebody, listen to people. You know, it's interesting. Minister Esmond was sharing, you know, he shares sometimes his interactions, and he'll go into a store, and he said, all of a sudden, this person's telling him their life history. And it's like, What's he telling me that for? It's an opportunity. Don't miss opportunities to share the goodness of God. God is giving us opportunities sometimes, and we don't take advantage of them. We don't respond. We say, well, you know, the greater one in me has something that you need. God is good. If I mean, just tell them how good God is in your life, how he delivered you, how he saved you, how he's blessed you. Just the simplicity of it can cause someone to go, wow, really? Because you don't know what people are struggling with. You don't realize what people are going through. And we're the mouthpiece, the ambassador. There's a scripture that comes to mind. Let me just read it. Let me get down here, because it was, this is in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. This is in the Passion Translation. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you, how? Through faith. And then it says, then your lives will be an advertisement or an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. So your life is going to be what? A demonstration, an advertisement of the goodness of God. You know, I'm reminded that when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, when he went back into one of the towns, it said they came out to see Jesus and Lazarus, who he raised from the dead. They wanted to see what did he do here? So when we start to see people healed, delivered, it becomes an advertisement, and your lives become an advertisement of the goodness of God. That's the bait. That's bait, isn't it? So one of the things in Matthew chapter 24, in the King James, he tells us that this gospel of the kingdom is going to be what? Preached in all the world for a witness unto what? All nations, and then shall the end come. But I like this in the Passion Translation. It says that it becomes what? It says here, yet through it all, this joyous assurance of the realm of heaven's kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God. This is what God is wanting. He wants to demonstrate himself through each one of us. That's exactly what Jesus did when they said, show us the Father. And he said, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he wants to be seen in this earth, and he wants to be seen through us. He wants to demonstrate himself, his goodness, his mercy, his love through us, every one of us. So every one of us can reach someone and should be reaching, just sharing the goodness of God and you having peace in troubled times. They'll go, why are you so peaceful? Let me tell you. Why did you come through that operation, that surgery? Let me tell you. And you start telling people of the goodness of God. You know, sometimes, you know, and I'm not, it makes me reflect a little bit. Are we prepared? Is the church prepared to walk through some of the things that come into this earth? I'm convinced, absolutely in my heart, I'm convinced if the church had not operated in fear concerning COVID, I believe it could have pushed that back and the church could have rose up and said, no, we bind you and we command that sickness to cease in the name of Jesus. I believe that it was demonically motivated. It manifested in this natural realm. And I believe the power of the church in the name of Jesus could have addressed that and shut it down. I'm convinced of it. But we feared something and we opened a door and it took hold. Now, I'm not making light of it. People lost their lives because of that. But what I am saying is that's not the last time something's going to happen like that, because the devil comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. And what is the church going to do? Are they just going to lay down and go, oh my God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we're seated in heavenly places far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named. So God is positioned, I believe, this church to rise up and to be a mighty force in this area. I'm convinced of it. You know, when you look at the prophecies that have been given to this church, and Brother Copeland spoke a prophetic word to Pastor Sarah when she was alive in 2003. He said, it's taken 20 plus years to build the foundation of this church. And this is what he said. Some foundations take longer to build because of what they're going to have to support. And I believe that this church has yet to see its finest days. And yet we've thought, wow, have we had some fine, marvelous, glorious days. But they're nothing compared to what God has in store. Because there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Brother Price prophesied it, Dr. Price, in 1990. He prophesied this. He said, you're not going to stay in this building. And we had just moved in. 5 years. He said, you're not staying in this building. He said, I know you love it. It's beautiful. He said, you might as well take pictures and put a for sale sign up. This is in 1990. He said, because you're not going to stay here because the work that I've given this church is greater than what this church can handle, this facility. So what does that mean? We've yet to see the end, what he has planned. And then even Brother Copeland in 1985, when we, I don't know why I'm getting off, but I'm just sharing this. But in 1985, when he came to inaugurate this church, when we moved in, he said to this, he prophesied and said, he talked about a lighthouse. And then he said, you all think that my church in Seoul, Korea is so big. They have over 1 million people. Young Ji Cho, he's in heaven. He said, I'll do that here if you'll let me. He's talking about this church. He said, I'll do that here if you'll let me. He said, I'm going to do that all over. And he said, but I'll do that here if you'll let me. He said, don't seek the biggest church. Just seek me, Jesus. Because in seeking him, he'll show us how to reach people. And that's why I'm sharing this. It's about reaching people. It's about reaching them with the love of God, with the power of God, the word of God, the spirit of God. He wants to reach people and bring them into the church and help them, heal them, deliver them, set them free. And I believe that is what is on God's heart for us in this time that we're living right now. It is so critical. There, you know, what does it say in Matthew 24? It talks about the end, and it says that when sin abounds, the love of many will wax cold. That's what we're seeing. Sin abounding and hardness. No love. No love. No love for people. And I said, if you just loved people, oh my God. They're not used to that. They're like, what's wrong with you? That's would be the way, because we're so used to being dealt harshly with people. I mean, you just call people in the store. You want to go into the store, and they go, what do you want? What do you mean, what do I want? I want to buy something. Like, don't bother me. That's how people are today. They're just hard. And there's no love. Can you imagine if you just touch people with the love of God, what impact that'll have if we do that? Ooh, my goodness. It'll draw people. And that's really God working through you, isn't it? He wants to work through us. So let me read this. You know, we talk about being new creatures in Christ and ambassadors for Christ. But let me read this in the Passion Translation. This is Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And verse 10 and 11. And talking about the new creation, it says, For you have acquired new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you. Whew. So we're being continually renewed into the likeness of the greater one, our master, who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. Verse 11, in this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference, or your ethnicity, education, or economic status. They matter nothing. For it is Christ that means everything as he lives in every one of us. So all your stuff and your and I'm not against stuff. I'm not against pursuing what God has called you. But don't elevate that to a place where it's above who you really are. Because in his viewpoint, it means nothing. Because he gave that to you. He opened the doors of opportunity. He gave you wisdom to get it. It means nothing. He desires to be worshiped. He desires to use you to reach people. And he will bless us, you know, beyond your wildest imaginations for him. And so we need to remember that. And then verse 14 of that same chapter, Colossians 14, 15, and 16 in Colossians 3, this is a Passion Translation. It says, for love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Let your heart always be guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of his one body, and always be thankful. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. So what I was focusing on today is we've looked at the love of God, the word of God, and I wanted to focus on the Spirit of God directing. And everything that we do, we need to have the love of God in that. But what I was starting to say at the beginning is that always remember we need his direction. We need his direction in doing things. You know, one of the things I wrote down, when you go fishing and you're fishing, the methods that you use to fish may change. The way you went about it may change. And so I was writing down that during this season, I believe this is a season, and it's been transitioning, where the Pastor Hagen says it this way. He said, methods may change, but the word of God never changes. So don't get stuck on, you know, lights and things, and people get all wound up over that, and they go, oh, that shouldn't be in the church, whatever. Let me tell you something. Nikki Cruz, who we support monthly, they go into very troubled areas. And they do what they call hit and runs. And they have a group called Truce. And they'll go into drug-infested, gang-infested areas. They set up, they call it a hit and run. They set up louds, they set up speakers, they do hip-hop, they do rap, they do things, they make a lot of noise, they may sing and rap worldly music. It draws a crowd. They pull people in. And then he gets up and preaches the gospel. His bait. So don't get stuck on the music and the style and whatever, whatever. Just say, look, it's a way to draw people to listen to the gospel. If your heart's right. And then what they do is they minister to the people. They receive people who receive Christ. They pray for people. There are people there that may want to commit suicide. There's people there. And they get in, they get out before the drug leaders and people, and they stir up problems in that area. And that's what they do. So the point is, methods may change, but the word never changes. So your methods of reaching people, you may say, well, I always did it that way. Well, maybe you need to ask the Holy Ghost and see, maybe he'd give you a different way to reach people. Because it's really all about reaching people with the gospel, isn't it? Yeah. So this is, always remember, love never fails. Love never fails. But one of the things that I felt strongly about was that in Ephesians, in order to fish for people, we need to pray the Ephesians prayer daily. And that, to me, is important. You're asking the Spirit of God to give you, you're praying to God and say, God, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. Well, that's what you need. You need wisdom in the knowledge of God. You need wisdom from him on how to approach things. And you need the eyes of your understanding enlightened. And it also goes on, to say, I'm going to read this from the King James, said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. We need the wisdom of God on how to fish for people. And you need God's direction by his Spirit. He will show us how to do that. It may be something real simple. But I can tell you, there are people now that are just, you know, I go into stores, people that know me, they'll go, I had one recently, I don't even know what faith they are, any faith, doesn't matter, they just said to me, what the heck is going on? I didn't even ask him. He's like, what is going on? And so I said, well, a lot of stuff is going on. So I went because I was getting what I needed, but when I came back through, I said, I'll tell you what's going on. I said, the further people move away from God, the darker it gets, the harder it gets, the more destructive it gets. And he goes, yeah, that's true. So sometimes it doesn't have to be anything profound. It's just like, you know what? When people turn their back on God, I said, this is what you get. And so it just leaves people with a little seed. Maybe I ought to get my life right. Maybe I ought to turn my heart back to God. you see? And so that may be all your assignment is. But we need to, again, how many are making changes in how they see people? You know, when I shared this, when I used to go fishing a lot, and maybe if you go into a town, let's say you like to shop. When you go, you fly in somewhere, some destination, what are you doing? Wonder what shops they got in here. They got this shop, that shop. Man, you're looking for that which you like. Isn't that right? That's the truth. I mean, people that like golf. I mean, Reverend Kevin, he likes golf. Reverend Jim Hockaday, they love golf. They play golf. He's like, where's the nearest driving range? I brought my clubs. Because that's what they like. When I used to fish a lot, I'd drive by lakes and I'd go, I wonder what's in there. Wonder what kind of fish is in there. You're thinking about that which you like, right? So when we see people, what are we thinking? Because I can tell you, God has a heart for people. We're the body and he's using us to reach people. You know, I really appreciate Pastor Enrique's son, Ian. I'm going to make mention of him. He's in high school. I think he's a junior, I think. Sophomore, junior. He's a junior, I think. He said, the Holy Spirit, this is a young boy, 17. He said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me on how to reach the people in this school. He gave me ideas how to reach them. And he's getting all kinds of flack from the teachers. Yeah, okay, we don't want to hear that anymore. You know, you don't care. I said, he's a product of his environment. And so he did simple things. He said, I'm going to give, well, I think he said at Christmas time, he decided to buy candy canes and hand them out to all the kids and just say, Jesus loves you. I mean, just stuff, right? He's showing them how to get on Instagram and to do little quick reels and things. And I said, he's reaching his generation because they're important. They're hurting. They're getting involved in stuff that's just, they're doing stuff. And so he has a heart for people. I know Pastor Enrique told me that he's going back down to Mexico in the beginning of July. He won't be able to come to the family picnic, but he said, I'm going to be down there for about a week and a half. I've got some meetings to do. They want me to come in to do some youth things, and they said they've asked Ian to come back and minister to the young people. And I said, that's what I'm talking about. God. See, when you make a decision to be used, God will use you. He's not telling you to quit your job. He's not telling you not to be responsible as a mom if you're raising children. But if you make a decision, God, I want to be used, he'll use you right where you are in the capacity that you have and the time that you have. God's not going to use you and ask you to do something you're not capable of doing. But you've got to be willing, right? You've got to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to reach some people. Help me, Lord. And he will use you right where you are. Whether you're a construction worker or you're a professional, he's going to use you. Amen. Everybody with it? I'm going to read this as we close. This is 1 Corinthians 13 in the Amplified Classic. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. So let's say this. I am a place where the love of God is evident. I am a place where the word of God dwells richly and received. I am a place that the Spirit of God directs, and I am a place where the power of God flows through. Amen. That's your personal confession and testimony. But one of the things that I would encourage you to do is read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, in the Amplify Classic, and say it every day. Don't miss it. Do it every day. And you watch what the Word of God will do. You know, you may not be at that place. You may go, I'm not doing any of that. Or I may be doing one of those things. But the more that you read it, the more you hear it, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what happens is the light of God's word begins to work in you and change you. It will supernaturally change you, and you're like, boy, I'm changing, I'm different. I didn't respond the same way. And it's that kind of love that God wants to get working in our lives so that when we reach out to people, it's Him. It's Him working in us. And it has to start here. It has to start making a decision. When we say, God, use me, He might just say, yeah, you need to change in these areas of your life. And He's saying, read my word. Read this daily. The word will change you. It'll just change you. It'll change how you think. It'll change how you respond. You know, I liked when Pastor Sarah used to say, what do you get when you squeeze a toothpaste, tube of toothpaste, when pressure is applied? What comes out? Toothpaste, because that's what's in it. So when a little pressure is put on you and you're squeezed, what comes out? Well, sometimes that ain't what's coming out. Sometimes it's not that. So we all can say that. Yeah, it's the word, honey. Yeah, but a little pressure and let's see what comes out. Because that's what you've put in. So I know for me, you know, all of us, we may respond differently to pressure. But I made a commitment 4 or 5 years ago. I said, You have to make a personal choice. You have to say, I don't like me. You understand what I mean by that? I don't like me at this stage in this area of my life. Each one of us have to do that. You have to say, you know what? I can be better in this area. And you have to, how is that going to change? If you want your life to change, forget about trying to change somebody else. You know, he's like, well, I'm going to change my husband or my wife. I don't think so. They need to change individually. And how is that going to come about? Through the Word of God. And it starts with the love of God. And when we make a decision that I want to be better in this area, how do you get better? You take and feed on the Word. You feed it. His Word is bread. And so you take bread every day, just like you eat bread every day. You take that in, you meditate on it, you feed on it. Take 5-10 minutes. That's all. And let me tell you, the power of the Word starts to change you. Amen. Glory to God. I know for me, it's exciting. Praise God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your Word. Thank you that you're working in us. The mighty power of God is working in us, working in our hearts, unfolding your power and your revelation to us, changing us into the very image of Him. We thank you for it. Thank you, Father, for using us, even in our imperfect ways. Thank you for using us. But we want to be better. We want to grow in the things of God. And so we commit today to walk and seek those things which are above. Keep our minds on heavenly realities and use us, Lord, as a demonstration in this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, if you're here today, just before we dismiss, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your heart and you've never made a profession or you've made a decision to serve Him, maybe you did at one point. Maybe you turned away, but today is a day to commit and say, I'm going to serve you with all of my heart and all of my soul. Then make that profession of faith today. Recommit your life, or if you've never done that, commit your life to Him. Because there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. He died so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. He came to bear the sins, how God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. So He came to die for us and our sins. So let's say this if you desire. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth to die for me. I thank you. Thank you that He took my sins. And when sin was paid for, He was raised from the dead. His resurrection was my resurrection. And I believe that Jesus is the Savior. I receive Him, and I believe He was raised from the dead. And your Word says that if I do that, I shall be saved. So I believe that. I believe that I am now redeemed. I believe I am cleansed with the blood of Jesus, and that I am now a new person, a new creature in Christ. Now, if you said that simple prayer, then just let us know. Raise your hand. We'll give you some free information. And if you're watching online, just contact us. Let us know that you accepted Christ, and we'll get that information to you and rejoice with you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.